Welcome, everybody. The Shulchan Aruch, in the very beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah and Aruch Chaim, in Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, presents a din, or a minig actually, that it's proper to begin saying Slichas in advance of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, starting on Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. The Nagu, there's a minig to get up, Bashmores, in the wee hours of the morning, the wee hours of the night still, it's still dark outside, to recite Slichas in the days of the month of Elul, a full month prior to Rosh Hashanah. That's the practice recorded by the Mechaber. It is the practice that is observed by Sephardic Jews to this day. Most Sephardim begin saying Slichas already on Rosh Chodesh Elul, so they've already been saying it for a number of weeks. The Ramah, in that same source, mentions that the minhag among Ashkenazim is not that way. The Ashkenazim do not begin saying Slichas on Rosh Chodesh Elul, but rather we begin on the Motzei Shabbos prior to Rosh Hashanah. Motzei Shabbos prior to Rosh Hashanah, which is tonight. It's the Rosh Hashanah, of course, is next Friday night. So tonight is the Motzei Shabbos prior to Rosh Hashanah, and that's when we begin to say Slichas. Whatever day Rosh Hashanah is, you start the Motzei Shabbos before, as long as, continues the Ramah, that there are a minimum of 4 days to recite Slichas. So if Rosh Hashanah begins on a Monday or a Tuesday, as it sometimes does, the next year it's like that. So we begin not the Motzei Shabbos immediately before Rosh Hashanah, but the Motzei Shabbos before that. So we have a week and a few days of recitation of Slichas. What's the idea of the minimum of 4 days, and why is it important to begin on Motzei Shabbos? So you look in the Mishnah Berurah there, and Sivkot and Vav. The Mishnah Berurah brings two principal ideas or two principal reasons as to why we begin a minimum of 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. One, that some people had the practice, at one time maybe it was more common than it is today, that people, as a step towards tshuva, as a means of returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and taking these solemn days very seriously, there are people who fast, or at least want to fast, the entire Aseres Yemei Tshuva. After all, if these are days dedicated to returning to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's appropriate to fast. We fast two of the days. We fast on Tzom Gedalia, we fast on Yom Kippur. There were people who fasted or who sought to fast on all 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. However, there are 4 days during the course of Aseres Yemei Tshuva where, according to most, it's improper to fast. And they are the first 2 days of the month. That's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. And although there's some who are lenient about fasting, most posts can assume that it's not proper to fast on Rosh Hashanah because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov and should be carried out and observed as such. And therefore, it is improper to fast on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. During the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, of course, there's Shabbos, Shabbos Shuva. So we don't fast on Shabbos either. Yom Kippur is the only exception, but generally we don't fast on Shabbos. So that's a third day when it's inappropriate to fast during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And finally, Erev Yom Kippur. We derive that there's a special mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara derives that in a number of places. It says Me'erev at Erev. And from there they learn that anyone who fasts on the ninth of Tishrei, I'm sorry, anyone who eats on the ninth of Tishrei is considered as though he fasted on the ninth and the tenth and so on. There's a special inyan, which we've discussed in the past, of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, a special mitzvah. We don't fast on Erev Yom Kippur. We dafka eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So, since there are 4 days during the course of Aseres Yemei Tshuva when it's inappropriate to fast, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the day of Shabbos Shuva and the day of Erev Yom Kippur. So those 4 days you can't fast. You can fast on the other six, but not those four. So therefore, before Rosh Hashanah, we kind of make that up, so to speak, by beginning to recite Slichas, starting at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, to make up, so to speak, for those 4 days we can't fast. And therefore, it's part of the Tshuva process. And our practice, again, is to begin Slichas at least 4 days. We begin on Motzei Shabbos, but at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. The second answer, which the Mishnah Berurah presents, it's really from the Levush, is something else. The Levush takes note of the fact that if you look in the Chumash and you read about the Karbonos that were brought on the various Yom Tovim, the verb generally used is the verb v'hikravtem, should offer a karbon, v'hikravtem ishel Hashem, or some such expression where the primary verb in the sentence is the verb v'hikravtem, you should offer a karbon. And yet, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the Torah has a different expression. The verb used is the word va'asisem instead of v'hikravtem. And the Levush understands that va'asisem is something more. It's not v'hikravtem that you offer a carbon, but va'asisem, you make yourself, so to speak, into the carbon. When a person comes before Kadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, so you yourself are the korban. You yourself are, so to speak, on the altar in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're in the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash and so on. You yourself become the korban. That's implied by the word Va'asisem. And so as we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, we ourselves, as it were, becomes the korban. We become the korban. We come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We sacrifice. We give up something. And we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that sense, like a korban being offered, where we ourselves are the korban. The halacha is that before you offer an animal as a korban, there is a process called bikur, which is required, levaker. You have to inspect, you have to examine the animal to make sure that it doesn't have any mumin, any blemishes, any disqualifications, any physical deformities or things along those lines, which would render the animal not acceptable for a korban. You have to check out the animal, so to speak. The Torah in Parshas Emor explains that certain physical blemishes in an animal render that animal improper for a korban, and there are various details about that. So what we require prior to bringing an animal to korban is a bikur, a process of examining the animal for 4 days. You require bikur, a four-day bikur, before bringing the animal as a korban. As a matter of fact, it's such a significant din that the Gemara tells us, and the Mishonim explain, it's in Sukkah and other places, that if an animal would be brought as a korban without there having been any prior bikur, the animal would not be accepted as a korban, even if it turned out that the taka was no blemish. Even if the bikur ended up retroactively or retrospectively not being necessary, because the taka was no mum, there was no issue with the animal, it was a perfectly valid, perfectly healthy, perfectly solid animal. But if it didn't have the process of bikur, then the animal is invalid. It's ma'akev. You need to have that four-day bikur before the animal can be brought. Otherwise, the offering is invalid, to the point that if it would be Shabbos and you bring such an animal as a korban tamid on Shabbos or korban musaf on Shabbos, could well be that not only would that be disqualified, it would count as chilul Shabbos because you brought an animal that wasn't really fit. Why was the animal not fit? It didn't have any blemish in the end because it missed bikur. So it's a serious din. And the bikur process is a four-day process. And so the Levush suggests, since on Rosh Hashanah, as we said, we become the korban, we ourselves are the korban, there needs to be at least 4 days of bikur, 4 days of examination prior to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore we begin slichas a minimum of 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. What exactly does bikur mean? So we find on the pasuk, which we say, and among Ashkenazim, we taka did start saying this pasuk, part of a whole kapitel tilim that we did indeed start on Rosh Chodesh Elul. The phrase is Achas Shalti Meis Hashem, etc. Lachzos Benoam Hashem Livaker Behei Chalo. Livaker. What is Livaker? Boker. The word Beis Kuf Reish. So Boker means to distinguish, to be able to see. That's what Boker. It's morning. It's light enough to see. Erev by Erev by Boker. Erev, the Shorish of Erev, Ayin Reish Beis, means mixed up. It means confused. Because at night, when you can't see, something can be in front of you and you're confused as to what it is. It could be a tree or a telephone pole. It could be a person walking to you, and when you see the person, it could be your friend. It could be somebody you don't know. There's confusion at night. That's what Erev is about, because we don't see, and therefore we can't really assess even what's close in front of us until it comes very, very close. You can't really see. That's the definition of Erev. So there's confusion that reigns when a person can't see. However, in the morning, when the day breaks, boker, now you have light, now you can distinguish. In fact, we know la halacha, that the ability to distinguish between certain things is what renders the time of day boker for a certain purpose. We call that mishayakir and so on. You can tell between this color and that color. So boker means to distinguish, be able to tell the difference between one thing and another. So when you do biker on an animal, you're trying to tell the difference. Is this an animal that's acceptable for a korban or not? And so too, when we do bikur on ourselves, we have to be able to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong, and what's good and what's bad. And that's really what the Yemei HaSlichus are. It's now time to start looking and assessing ourselves and seeing what it is that we're doing right and what it is that we're doing wrong. Nobody says we're doing everything wrong. We don't need to have the attitude coming into the Yemei HaSlichus and the Yemei HaRachamim and so on that we're all terrible people. We've all done everything wrong. That's not necessary. We know the things we've done that are good. But at the same time, we all also know that there are things that we did that are not so good, the things we've done that are disappointing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are wrong, which are even evil, perhaps have hurt other people, have hurt ourselves. We know there's been plenty of ra also. So this is the time of year to begin distinguishing in earnest between ra and tov, right? To distinguish, livaker, livaker. That's how the Mefarshim explained, to distinguish between what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong. And so that's really what the Yemei HaSlichas are supposed to inspire us. It's true that we should already begin thinking about these things, Rosh Chodesh Elul. But it's sometimes difficult because we're still involved in various other activities. But when we come to the week of Slichas, we come to the Motzei Shabbos Mamish before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is on the horizon, on the visible horizon, and you can't not think about it anymore. You can't put it off in your mind. This is the time to begin that process of Bikur. And why on Motzei Shabbos? Why do we start Dafka on Motzei Shabbos? Sometimes it ends up being 4 days, but sometimes it adds up to more than 4 days. If the issue were Bikur, we should always start exactly 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, whether it's Motzei Shabbos or not. But our practice is to always start Taka on Motzei Shabbos. And perhaps we can suggest al derech hadrush, the pizmon that will say shortly, the pizmon of the Slichas, the first night of Slichas, begins with the words b'motzoi menucha, when we come out of the period of rest and relaxation. And that perhaps is reference not only to Shabbos, the day of rest and relaxation, but in general, we're sometimes asleep at the wheel. We're sometimes tired and we're sometimes falling asleep and we're not paying attention and we're living in relatively calm surroundings. And it's menucha, it's good, things are okay, and we're not really paying attention. Tshuva is not limited to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. But be honest, we don't really think about it during the course of the year. Sometimes we make mistakes, we do things wrong, and we kind of gloss over it and move on. We're b'menucha. We're calm. We're serene, and we're not really worried about it. And so, if we live a life, so to speak, very often that we're b'menucha with our behavior and with our attitudes, even when we know that deep down things we've done are wrong. So maybe if we're really good and we've wronged somebody else, we'll talk and apologize to that person and try and straighten out. And it's true that in the davening, that we say daily, we ask our Kaddish Baruch Hu for accepting our tshuva and for slicha and mechila and the Shemoneh Esrei. But to be honest, and I speak for myself, but I'm sure for other people too, we're not really focused on it that much. More or less, in terms of our behavior, in terms of our averus, we're b'menucha, we're satisfied, we're okay. And in some ways, as I said before, we have the right to be okay. We're generally good people, but even when we make mistakes, we don't think about it that often, and we live in a life of serenity, and we're calm, and we're comfortable with the way things are. When we come to the slichas, it's b'motzoi menucha. It's time to wake up. It's time to realize now that we can't slumber. We can't be in that serene state of mind. We're coming now to the Yom HaDin. And the Yom HaDin, we're going to be held accountable for everything that we did, even those things that may not have bothered us too much during the course of the year that we glossed over because we were b'menucha. Generally, things were okay. It was good enough. But now perhaps those things are going to come back to bite us. And therefore, b'motzoi menucha, we have to exit that sense of menucha. It's represented by Shabbos. And Shabbos is beautiful. But Shabbos, as we know, we don't worry and think about the things, the tirchas, the things that occupy our mind and our attention during the course of the week. Shabbos is an island in time, so to speak, where we focus only on positive things. But sometimes you got to come out of Shabbos. After Shabbos comes the weekday again. We go back to the weekday, and we go back to our activities. We go back to the things that we're occupied with, and during the rest of the year, perhaps we stay b'menucha. We stay serene. Even when we do that, we don't think about averus. We don't think about tshuva as much as perhaps we should. But that's the reality. So now we come on Motzei Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, and it's time for b'motzoi menucha. It's time to exit that serene and calm and unaffected state of being and recognize, you know what, the Yom HaDin is coming, and now's the time to change, and now's the time to recognize it. We can't be asleep anymore. Everybody knows the famous comment of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, that's one of the purposes of the shofar, to wake up those who are asleep and who engage in nonsense a lot of the times, and I would add even not nonsense, even things that we engage in that we're supposed to engage in. But in terms of our relationship with our Kaddish Baruch Hu, and certainly in terms of doing tshuva for our averus, we don't think about it that much during the course of the year. And we live, so to speak, in that mood of menucha. So now's the time, b'motzoi menucha. Now we have to get down to business. Maybe we should have started Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's interesting. Rosh Chodesh Elul is always in the summer. So during the summer, at least the way our calendar and our lives are set up currently, you know, we're in a different mode. We're focusing on different things. There's a different attitude that we have in general, many of us during the course of the summer. But then the summer ends, and Motzoi Menucha, the time of serenity, the time of calm, is over, and it's time to get down to business. And so We take start the slichas on Motzei Shabbos when we can say we're coming out of the sleep and the slumber of Shabbos, which characterize us in a certain way throughout the entire year. And now it's time to get down to business and to begin to do that bikur, levaker, bein tov l'ra. We have to hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we do our bikur, will find that we're okay, that ultimately we can be accepted as a korban. We may have blemishes, but we're going to commit to get rid of the blemishes. We're going to commit to change the things that we've been doing wrong and so on. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept the korban that we offer on Rosh Hashanah. And it's our hope, as we read in the Haftarah this morning, Parshas Nitzavim's Haftarah is always, of course, read on the last Shabbos of the year prior to Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes Nitzav Vayelech is doubled up, as it was today. Sometimes it's not doubled up. That's a function of whether there is a Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot or not. This year, there is no Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So by Sukkot, we have to be up to Mezos HaBracha to be able to finish the Torah and Simchas Torah. So the Shabbos before Sukkot is always Hazinu. Sometimes that Shabbos is after Yom Kippur, before Sukkot, we read Hazinu, in which case we read the previous Shabbos, the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Parshas Shabbos Shuvah. We read just Parshas Vayelech by itself. But in a year like this, we have to read Hazinu on the Shabbos before Sukkot, because that's also the Shabbos before Yom Kippur, and that's the same one and the same Shabbos. There is no other Shabbos, so Vayelech gets put back and doubled up with Nitzavim. But the Haftarah is the Haftarah of Nitzavim, which is the last of the Shiva de Nechemta, the last of the special Haftarahs of comfort, which ends, you know, the period of mourning following Tisha B'Av with an upbeat message at the beginning. Sos osis b'Hashem, we'll rejoice with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. We now have come to the point where we can be happy and full of simcha and soson with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Pasuk says later in Haftarah, Shnas Geulai Ba, the year of our redemption has arrived. And it's referring not necessarily to the coming year, but even the present year. The present year has been very, very difficult for most of us. I'm not saying at all that it's the worst time that we've ever gone through as Jews, as a people. It's definitely not. We've had many, many far greater and far more horrible tsaras. However, in the lifetime, I think of most of us, this past year, with all the issues relating to the pandemic and everything else, has been a year like no other in terms of our communal pain. I'm not talking about individual suffering, individual tragedies that we've all experienced, but I'm talking about as a people and as a world. We've gone through this most unusual and depressing and difficult time. And yet the Haftarah says, Shnas Geulai Ba, the year of our redemption is arriving. It's arriving now. Even though there's only one more week, how can we say it's only one more week? The year's over. Because Baruch Hu can change anything at any time. It's interesting, pointed out in the past, that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we daven mincha. So maybe it's 5 minutes before sunset. The year has got 5 minutes left. That's it. You're davening mincha. And yet in the Birchas Hashanah, we say, Uvarech Shanaseinu Kashanim HaTovos. Bless this year that it should be one of the good years. Bless this year. There's no time left. We're davening mincha, Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's a few minutes going to be shkia, and probably at home they already lit candles. So what kind of a funny prayer is that? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Tfila, this year should be blessed, taka, like one of the good years. Doesn't matter if there's 2 minutes left. Kadosh Baruch Hu can change anything at any time. We saw that this year, unfortunately, the other direction. And so we have to hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept the korban that we're offering ourselves. We'll do that bikur, we'll distinguish between right and wrong, good and bad, and realize where we have to change and where we have to improve. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu hopefully will lift us up as Haftarah ends, Vayinat Leim Anasim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift us up, he'll accept that tefillah. And the year Tovshin Pei Aleph, Habo Aleinu Latova, even if the good starts already with the last week of the year, it could be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change things right now, but it'll change things in a positive way leading into next year, which will be even greater, and we should all be have the schus to be blessed with a ksiv v'chsima tova. Our tefillah should be answered. Our bikur, beginning tonight with the recitation of slichus, we have a little more than 4 days this time to examine ourselves, to do some introspection. Kadosh Baruch Hu should accept it and see that our korban is accepted, and we are accepted, and again, we're blessed with a ksiv v'chsima tova.